experience with this non-payment of time. PMT is not yet in a position to provide advice bills to banks. I think this is also one other matter that we've always been talking about with the committee on, that we are not in a position as yet to provide advice bills because of the absence of a proper accounting and billing system within PMTE, on the other soft systems that will feed into the accounting and billing system for us to do what we need to do in terms of providing those itemized bills to clients. So what we're doing currently is that we've been billing clients on the basis of the bulk budgets. And as you know, there were two sets of evolutions, the 2001 evolution and the 2006 evolution. And what we've been doing is to send clients bills and determining the amounts to be based on what was involved then, the time of the factor of an increment over a particular period, so the evolution itself. And then due to this lack of itemized bills, detailed itemized bills, client departments have become very weary and very resistant to paying. And the reason why they don't want to pay is because the AG, and correctly so, the Auditor General has actually indicated that it is not good practice for anyone to pay an invoice which is not itemized to indicate what it is that you are paying for, as opposed to have just one line item that says accommodation charges and there's a figure there. It does not indicate how much square meters you have, what you are charged for. As a result, the AG has indicated that they may well risk findings against those clients for the lack of the itemized bills on which they've been paid. And as a result, that has now created a situation, an impasse between ourselves and the clients, that the clients are not going to be in a position to pay because of this kind of, because of the fear of attracting mental quality findings. I think that's a fair position with respect to the clients in terms of them having to ensure that their product outcomes are not unduly affected by virtue of the lack of support from ourselves. What has happened in the past is that we had reported some kind of progress with respect to the conclusion of these service level agreements between ourselves and user departments, and also developed or defined certain service delivery standards for what we are supposed to do. And these documents, the service level agreements and the service delivery standards, were meant to entrench the delivery of accommodation services according to agreed turnaround times so that we stay in the course, enhance efficiencies. In addition to that, they defined performance measures and what are the business processes that we need to follow for us to do what we need to do, and for the clients to be able to receive what we are providing them. So there was that agreement on the general framework that, and that framework has been defined into those two sets of documentation to entrench the standards and measures and processes. The progress to date with respect to the conclusions of the service level agreements, as you know, we have somewhere in the order of about 51 clients, which incorporate about 33 departments, user departments, 17 entities, and everyone committee, which is the committee on the board of state. To date, in terms of the departments, we've signed SLA agreements of 21 SLA agreements signed, which means we have, and then we have 11 not yet signed, and one where there was no need for an SLA to be concerned between ourselves and the client departments. And this is where services are rendered through parent departments, where they are co-located in one building with the main department. So we have about, in essence, we have 21 of the 33 signed, which gives us an achievement of about 4% of the actual of the entities. We have 17 total entities. We signed about 8 of these SLAs. 5 we haven't signed, and 4 do not require us to sign because of the accreditation of the entity with the main client, basically. So our achievement to date in terms of that is about 7%. And then the one is the one committee with some orders, and there's no need for SLA in terms of that. Overall, out of the 51 clients, we've signed 23 SLAs, which is an achievement of about 45% to date. I think we need to step up our progress in terms of this, because this is really what defines how we narrow the issues between ourselves and our clients. And clients are fully on the way to ratchet that up in terms of performance, but the establishment of joint teams between ourselves and client departments to look at the entire portfolio of each and every one of the clients and come up with a comprehensive maintenance plan and infrastructure plan for each and every one of those departments. Before, that never used to exist, and I think these joint teams that we've started to roll out effective from the 1st of April would be a catalyst in assuring that we achieve this speedily and efficiently. And I think that's, I'm sure, in our next round of brief to the committee, we will have by then will record significant improvement with respect to that because of the intervention that we put in place. I think the context that one should look at in terms of the PMTE's non-collection, and I think one of the things that the committee must be, is also aware of is just the PMT sitting with the bank overdraft, which has been carried ever since 2006 when the establishment of the entity was approved. We have carried an overdraft which is around, you know, hovering the mark of about 1.4 billion rand over a period. But just a recap on the operating model of PMT is that PMT is a trading entity or account of the subsidiaries and was established in 2006, but ever since then has never been operationalized. And I think that's one thing that we've always been reporting on as well. And that it trades under the control of the department, that there's one accounting officer, who is the accounting officer of the National Department of Public Works, which is the Director General. The purpose of the formation of PMTE was to defend revenues and expenditure relating to property management functions, including construction and maintenance of the department's portfolio of assets. The main benefit being that any revenue generated may be retained by PMTE to run itself, if declared, to run itself, so it becomes self-sustaining. However, if the surplus is declared, the National Treasury had the right to request that to be declared back to the exchequer or the main revenue account. But if that was approved to remain within PMT, then we could utilize that for our own maintenance programs for our state-owned assets. The incentive, therefore, why PMT was established was to enhance efficiency and ensure that there's better performance in terms of how we manage the portfolio and how we actually roll up the whole infrastructure maintenance of that portfolio. The ultimate goal, as I did indicate or allude to earlier, was that it has to be self-sustaining, self-funding, and the modeling that the PMT would recover the costs of doing what it's doing from the revenue generated from clients or from the allocation of DPW or Treasury. So the dependence on an annual allocation from Treasury was one of the things that we needed to obviate and avoid doing, and hence the intention of setting up this entity so that it can be self-sustaining. But in reality, this objective is a long way off to achieve because of the intricacies of how things are doing and the fact that we need to actually transition ourselves from the old into the new way of doing things to achieve exactly what we need to achieve, and hence what we're doing now in terms of the turnaround and operationalizing PMT itself. And the reason why is this so way off is because we are unable to effectively accurately determine the cost of recovery of PMT. That process, the draft was done initially, but it has not been taken to the next step. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to develop a proper recovery model of the cost of running state assets. We have issues around the incomplete and inaccurate records relating to which clients occupy which of our state buildings, of our state assets, as well as historic those that relate to the privately leased buildings. I think, again, conceding, yes, the challenges, at least are historical challenges going back many years, that we are not, because of the lack of decisions of things like the lease agreement. We're not in a position to determine the exact square meterage of what is being occupied by the occupants who are the tenants of the buildings, those that are state-owned buildings and those privately leased. And we take the actual name, the fees in those privately entered arrangements. Then we have issues around updated or manual matching of expense recoveries. That introduces, because of the human element, once anything that is committed to manual intervention, you make it susceptible to a lot of error. So I think that the error, those errors that will occur, then have a knock-on effect on the ability or lack thereof to recover, because you cannot, with clear level of certainty, substantiate what you want to recover. And then the issue around lack of proper systems for recording of invoices, again, the issue around the fact that you do not have an IT system that supports this massive operation of bills to clients, recovery. It's just something that humanly impossible to do manually. And it has been done historically, again, on normal Excel spreadsheets and that kind of thing. And in certain instances, as we know, Excel has got a limited capability in terms of the lines that it can actually take. So as part of the history as well, we've lost a lot of data by virtue of the download of systems onto Excel, where then the lines at the bottom do not take everything because of the limited space that Excel allows of data that can be collected on a spreadsheet. So I think these are the real kind of problems that we've been sitting with. There's currently a mismatch between the fact that the revenue and expenditure from the department's property management function is accounted for in PMT's financial records, but the issue is the removal assets are currently located or owned by state and sitting in the main account, but the revenues are accounted for in PMT. The capital expenditure, there's always been challenges with respect to capitalizing those, because the issue around collecting invoices, the manual thing, a proper capitalization policy, and as a result, we have not had to date a proper set of capital planning and proper capital register. Hence, the council program that we've embarked on to recompile or compile the state's asset register to ensure that we know what we own and actually capitalize and carry the right cost as we belong the actual cost, the historical cost that we actually acquired it, we did acquire, and the subsequent improvements to those properties. But this is all carried in the asset register of the department, and hence what we're doing currently. There's issues that capital budget is sitting with land departments, but the assets are DPW and the work is done by PMT. So there's all these systemic issues that, you know, arose, and the issues around, you know, complexities of accounting as a result of this kind of that exists. So it requires us to pull all of this together and refocus and redirect the activities to ensure that we minimize the complexities that we had in the past. To deal with this, as we know, we need to report to yourselves that an interim business case for the PMD has been approved by DG at the end of March, effectively transferring the property management functions and related business units, the actual functions in the department that are related to property management, from the main board into PMTE, and that will be effective from the 1st of April 2013, which is the next financial year. So the impact of the decision, we're not going to see in the year that has just gone past, 12-13, we'll see it in the audit of the year 13-14, which will be next year. But the process of transferring the actual functions is happening this year as we belong, so that we can then ensure that things happen the way they should happen. And this means that the immovable assets themselves, the state asset portfolio, will then move from the main board to PMTE and account for in the PMTE. Effective from this year onwards, and you'll see that impact in terms of the restatement of our financial statements, how that will be carried through when we do our accounts for 13-14. And then the functions and related staff related to the property management functions and certain of the infrastructure functions will only move also in this current year. And then, and as we know, PMT needs to prepare or is required to prepare its financial statements on the basis of GRAP, as opposed to modified cash basis. And the challenge for us has been now, how do you convert your accounts from a modified cash basis to a GRAP without a proper IT system to support that conversion? What you're doing is the source transactions have been done on a modified cash basis utilizing our BAS system. We need to then convert that with a lot of manual journals to a GRAP accounting basis, which requires accrual. And this in essence has got a direct knock-on effect on the status of our debtors and how you maintain your debt book to ensure that you actually account for all the transactions related to each and every one of the debtors. There's a need for a lot of human intervention. So, like I said, this is an extensive process, manual process to do this conversion, which then affects the accuracy. Just to encapsulate this in picture, the model of PMT is that we execute the work now, we recover the money later. And on average, that has been like about 60-90 day kind of period. So the client has an infrastructure project and requests us in terms of a procurement structure to do something for them. We do the work, we have a 60-day period lag. We would have paid, but we have a 60-day period during which we have to wait for the client to get back that money, to recover that money. And this creates a huge and serious cash flow timing difference as a result. Because the 60-day period that you are carrying creates a gap in your cash. And as a result, this results in us having the bank overdraft that we have reported. And just on slide 10, I've just done a behavior, how this overdraft has behaved over the period since 2006, when the actual approval for the expansion of PMTE was taken. As you can tell, I mean, that was day one of the actual decision, so the overdraft was zero. But over time, it has just gone up, basically. Well, the worst thing in 2010, where we were sitting on an average of about 1.7 billion of an overdraft. Today, we can say the overdraft is more or less sitting on a balance or average balance of about 1.4 billion over the period, month on month, basically. And we then did an unpacking of what actually constitutes that overdraft and of the 1.4. We realized that at least 800 billion rand of the overdraft, or 1.4, can be accounted for by the timing difference between us paying and the time that we recover the money from our clients, basically. So that's 800 million, which, because of the timing difference, we'll carry as we go along forever. So for us, it's not actually a major issue. It's not a risk as much as, you know, a risk of are we ever going to recover that money. It is just a timing difference. How we can deal with that is just by looking at this operating model of PMTE, which then have put to us, in terms of our thinking, the introduction of the debate of the devolution of the budget set. Is it something sustainable? Are we going to be able to achieve what we are set out to achieve for PMTE based on operating on the basis where the budgets are sitting with the client departments, you're going to do the work and hope for recovery later? Or should you go back and reintroduce the debate with the National Treasury and say, those devolved budgets that have been gone to the client department and sitting in their budgets, why don't you return those back to PMTE or to the department so that we can have full control, because we are the executing agents, we are the ones who have appointed those providers, and we are the ones who have to manage our cash flow. And with that kind of decision, you may actually deal with the issue of the 800 million rands. And of that 800 million rands, somewhere in the order of about 600 relates to old debt. And this old debt is one that one could say some of it, it's a hybrid of issues. Some of it is this whole thing about the loss of data. Some of it is a dispute of clients with respect to we not occupying the space that you're charging us for. It's a whole plethora of issues that actually make up that balance. To the extent that some of it we will have to actually decide to write off at some point. We've actually gone through a whole process of reconstruction of our debtors, wherein we actually have started to certify the total population of our debtors that are outstanding and determined out of that population what is, in our view, recoverable and what, in our view, is not recoverable. And I think that exercise is still continuing, and now we will then report on this at a later stage to yourself as well. as to what the decisions we've taken. In this past financial year, we've done a whole impairment exercise of our debtors based on a detailed analysis of the debtors themselves, and that dealt more or less with the 600 million that I said is constituting part of our overdraft balance. Just a recap of the operating model, what are source systems that provide us information. The WCS works control system, which does our infrastructure project, our project management system, basically. Then PMIS, out of which we pay our leases, we pay our municipal services, and IWork, which deals with our asset register, basically. So all of these, the payments from all of these get interfaced onto BAT, which is a modified cash, and for us, we will convert all of this to proper accrual. We need to have this manual intervention where in spreadsheets do journals and provide certain information so that we can then provide the appropriate bills to our clients. And for financial statements, we have a system that is a caseware system that does the conversion for the production of the annual financial statement. So that's the operating model of PMT, honorable members, just to give you kind of background how we operate. Obviously, this is not the most optimal. It is the most efficient way of working, and I think it's upon ourselves that we need to now rectify the thing. And as we go, along, we will then indicate how we're going to do it. So all of this means that we need to procure an IT system for PMT, and that is for purposes of our migration from a modified cash to an accrual basis of accounting. We need to comply with GRAP, and then we need to automate the billing process and certain of the PMT business processes to ensure that we achieve operational efficiencies. Then we need to operationalize PMT as a standalone business entity. No more can we have PMT sitting in a corner within the department, operating within the department system, and hope to achieve what we want to achieve. We have to de-link the PMT from the department from a process point of view, to be standalone and be on systems that any other significant property management or portfolio property portfolio company must operate under. So we need to do that, and that's the result. The current systems of PMT are not integrated onto the business, across business. These are standalone systems for you to establish linkages from one to another. You need to do it manually, so it's just not really working for the nature of the business that PMT is supposed to be in. And as a result, there's extensive, you know, legacy data quality issues. I mean, we can deduce from what I've just said that yes, the integrity of your data is highly questionable, purely because of the way we operated the manual and just by virtue of the fact that our systems are properly integrated. What's our data status? We've set up, I think in the last presentation, you were briefed that there's a number of interventions, one of which was the establishment of a debt collection division within PMT, within the department, and populated that division with people. What have they done to date? Is that they have actually done a bit of work where we actually have achieved a significant amount of substantiation of our standing debtors supporting documentation, something which was not there before. We've got into the process of doing monthly debt collection processes where we prepare statements and issue these statements to clients. We send reminder letters to follow up on outstanding debt. We meet with our clients on a regular basis to ensure that we clear issues of uncertainty. That process will take us another 6 to 7 months of engaging clients, the 51 clients, to make sure that we can clear the debtors. We prepare age analysis, so today we can at least now say we can with certainty determine how old our debts are, or the debt of people, or for how long people owe us, so that we can then follow up in a focused manner. As I said, the debtor balance to date is about 2.3 billion rand. That's what we are owed, and it's categorized under the main categories of accommodation, which is our own state-owned buildings that we lease out to our clients. That's about 18 million. So we have no issues with respect to that. I mean, of the 18 million, Someone is asked about that whole 8 million almost relates to prior year, where there's issues of this year. But I mean, that really has not been an issue because of the billing, based on devolution, people pay, can't pay, and it has not been an issue at all. So that's not our main issue. Our main issue is the next one, is the private leases, where of the 1.2 billion, which is 1178977, 1.2 billion rand outstanding for the private leases. Now, that is a real, issue, and that our attention is focused on. As you can see, 41% of that, or shall I rather say 48% of that 1.2 billion relates to previous years. That's 561 million relates to previous years, which is not in the current year. And that's a plethora of issues. The total accommodation of debtors that are owing us is about 1.2 billion. 1178, 1515, Madam Chair. 1178, that's the second category of debtors from the top. And on your extreme right, the figure is 1178977 of the 2322 in total balance, basically. That's what's for private leases. Right? And that's about, if you look at it, 1178 over 2322. That literally almost gives you 50% of our actual debtors sitting in the private accommodation list. That's what it is.
Basically. I remember, do you get what they are saying? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not here because I'm comparing this year and last year. So that's why I want them to repeat.
Okay.
So that we can compare last year, the money that we owed last year compared to this year, and the overdraft of last year and this year. That's what I want to understand. Continue.
Should I continue, Madam Chair?
Continue if all of us were in the same understanding of what they are saying, we can continue. I want that. I will try to I want that to understand how we can compare last year and this year.
Chairperson, because we are going to answer a question, sometimes you will verify it, because what he has said is actually just makes sense. If you check the last year report and this year, the one that
they
do.
Will tell you that. It's because they are too technical, so I want all of us to understand what they are saying. Continue.
Okay, Chair, we will be very delighted to provide more clarity when you seek clarity at the time of question. But maybe just to recap as to the slide 50, just to recap again, trying to make sure that you know, we all walk this path together. I was saying, in terms of this, like the age analysis on the 31st of March 2030, the total amounts owed to PMTE by guide departments is about 2.3 billion, which is the total right at the bottom. And of that 2.3 billion, 929002, which is next to the 2.322 billion, 929002 relates to the previous year, basically, which accounts for 40% of the total. Now, in terms of, and 60%, this 1402 relates to amounts owing in the current, or amounts owing from transactions in the current, in the year 31st of March 2030. That's what we say. And then, in terms of the categorization of those debtors, there's 5 categories of debtors. One is accommodation state owned buildings. The next is privately leased buildings. Then the next is municipal services. Then the next is PACE, which is the recoveries of our infrastructure spend, as well as the recoverable CA, is the same type of category of data, basically. Just categorized differently because of the nature of the reporting that has happened in the past. Now, with respect to accommodation for state owned buildings, Of the total, only 18 million relates to the state owned buildings. So that's not our challenge. And of that 18 million, almost the entire 18 million relates to the previous years. That's what I'm saying. Then of the privately leased accommodation, clients owe us 1.178977. and of that amount, which account, which is 1178, which is 50% or 48%, or 50% actually of the total taxes outstanding, 561 million of that relates to the previous years, which means it's old debt. 617 million of that is not old debt. It's debt that relates to transactions in the year ended the 1st of March 2013. Similarly, with municipal services, total amount owed is about 424 as of the 31st of March 2013. And of that 424 million, 222 or 223 million relates to the previous years, which is old debt. Again, why is there such a large balance? Again, because of a plethora of issues that are related to, which we'll try and attack as we go along. And then the pays and the recoverable debts, also the similar kind of interpretation of those. Just in summary, we say we've got 2.3 billion of debtors as of the 31st of March. 929 is 40% of those relates to old prior years before the 31st of March, before the year, or before 1st of April 2012. That's what it actually, the interpretation means. That's 929. It's a balance relating to transactions of the period before the 1st of April 2012. Then 1.4 billion related to debts are standing for the current financial year. And as I did say, that's about 6% of the total, which is indicating a not so bad a situation. And then we, as I did say, we're having focused meetings with clients. You know, that's from now, and it's a continuous process to analyze these individual accounts, but I will go through the detail of the clients that we are seeing in terms of, we categorize the clients as well in terms of the value, or in terms of the value of what's outstanding. The five top clients that we have are defense, it's justice, it's staff, it's correctional services, and DECO. Those guys together account, I think, the total amount of money that owed, that we are owed, that we are owed by us. It's about 1.1 billion of a total of 2.3 billion, only five clients, which is some of the about 40% of our debtors are actually accounted for by five clients. And I've indicated what those clients are. As I say, it's defense, it's justice, it's DECO, it's professional services, as well as SAPs. So they account for 50% of our debtors balance. We have a portfolio of about 51 clients, and only 5 clients account for 50%. So we then took a focused attention on those and started to do an analysis and also to provide you information or a brief as to what we are doing with those clients to ensure that we actually do collect our monies. Then I'll start with the first one being defense. As I did say, the total owed by defense is about 388 million. That's on slide 15 on the roll numbers. 70, sorry. My numbering is, I'm sorry. Slide 17. The total that's owed to the Department by defense is 388 million. And of that 388 million, 122 million, which is 32% of that total, 32%. Relates to the previous year, relates to transactions before the 1st of April 2012. So it's all the transactions going back. And 265 relates to transactions from the 1st of April 2012 up to the 1st of March 2013. So that's the period that we are looking at. And the 388, if you look at the comparison of the total that we are owed, accounts for about 17% of the 2.3 that we are owed in totality, and that is just defense itself. What are we doing with respect to this in terms of the collection? Or maybe I will just maybe highlight some things. Like I said, 68% is owed by defense, And that, he said that also at first relates to transactions from 1st of April 2012 to the 31st of March 2013. So that's 68%. So that's all current year, basically. And if you look at the previous year, that's about 32% of the total that France is showing. And just in terms of the categorization, nothing on state-owned buildings, I mean owned by defense, a small amount being owed with respect to accommodation of private leases, then the municipal services, 59 million. And I think the issues around municipal services being, again, the historical issues of no proper bills being spent, the fact that there was loss of data, the issues around dispute of what's being occupied. So there's a whole list of things that we have to deal with in terms of the client disputes. What I've done, we've had meetings on a monthly basis with those clients starting from March 2013. I can tell you the nature of our engagement with defense, because defense we see it as a very important client of ours. The relationship that we're trying to forge, that we started to forge with defense, and I must say, you know, by virtue of the fact that our current DG used to be the Chief Finance Officer of Defense, that has assisted us a great deal in warming up relationships with defense. We've set up a regular steering committee meetings to deal with defense portfolio in terms of what needs to be done and the plans going forward. We've set up teams, as you recall, we did indicate about how do we hope to enhance the capacity or the professional capacity of the department. We indicated that we are going to set up joint teams between ourselves and client departments, the joint teams comprising of industry specialists that we've engaged to assist with the portfolio analysis of each and every one of our major clients. And defense is being one of those. We have paid particular attention to that. The purpose of this is that the joint teams will set up provide a full assessment of each and every one of the portfolios, and they started doing that with defense in terms of what is required to be done to improve the infrastructure capability and what kind of maintenance science going forward do we need to institute as a department. So that process is fully underway with the joint teams, and a report is coming out soon. Our DG is holding regular sessions with the DG with the Secretary of Defense. Ever since the engagement or the appointment of the DG, I think has meetings, about 3 or 4 meetings, to just deal with the issues of the defense portfolio. So this is something that has taken or has attracted a focused attention by us to rectify, only because of the importance of the defense portfolio to ourselves. So we really see it as a priority. So this kind of engagement will assist in the issues that we are dealing with respect to the collection of our debtors. The outstanding balance, just coming to the debtors itself, there's about 59.3 million in the defense relating to municipal services on slide 17. That balance relates to expenditure in between from the years 2006 to 2010 that are claimed in 2011. This invoice cannot be substantiated. I mean, it's one of those things that got lost when we did the download from one system into Excel, and it's just a very difficult thing to substantiate. And the client is disputing. The client is saying, you cannot wake up 5 years down the line and come to us and want to, you know, claim some money. I mean, one of the things that you can actually say, you can turn around and say, well, the debt is preserved anyway, you know. So nobody can substantiate this thing. They cannot substantiate, we cannot. It's just a difficult thing. But it's sitting in our books, and it's about a different amount of 16 years. And the balance on the category, Calro CA, which is about 60081, that we on slide 20, that we believe will be recovered. The client, which is defense, has just requested for additional information relating to this project, and this has been submitted, and I think they are evaluating this for payment. So that's really, we're going to be in a position to have really broken a camel's back with respect to the about 120 million outstanding, half of that we will have dealt with. We can give the recovery of that data, which is recoverable CA. On justice, just again to give you a bit of a detailed comprehension of the slide 19, 161 million rands total is owed by justice to PFGE, which accounts for 7% of the total 2.3 billion VAT, basically. Of that, 72, which is about 45% of the total debt of 161, relates to the previous years, which is means they relate to transactions before the 1st of April 2012. It relates to previous years. Again, old debt. And then the balance of 89, which is 55%, relates to transactions from 1st of April 2012 to the 31st of March 2013. Now, of that total, of 106 alone relates to accommodation for private leases, of which 26.9 million is of old, before 1st of April 2012, and 79 is all current year, basically. So if you look at it, the municipal services, that's 36 million outstanding, which relates to old debt as well. And jointly, the 26.9, which is the private accommodation and the municipal system, these are literally kind of intertwined or related with each other, because it all has to do with whether the client occupies the space, do you know what they are occupying, do you provide them with an optimized bill. So if they see the one thing, it has an effect on the other, like something like municipal services of 36 million, which goes back many years, going back. Again, because of the loss of data, because of the other issues, that's the situation as it stands. What are we doing with justice? The outstanding balance for municipal services by DCMK goes back 2006 to 2010, which then we managed to put together 2011 and started to want to claim. Again, issues of we cannot substantiate this because it goes back many years. The client doesn't have the detail. We also are backing together our detail. So it's something that, again, we will have to, it's a challenge for us to get. The balance of 26.9 million, the 26.9 million relates to the private lease that justice, of the building that justice is occupying. That's about 26.9 million. Now, that's the sum of building, which, as you know, is being disputed by the client in terms of what we are charging, or the landlord is charging them, which we, the charge which you pass on to the client to say they're occupying what space they're occupying, and the client is saying, we are not occupying the space, the standard building. And as you know, there's all issues around the building, around the standard building itself, which is taking another process of its own. But the client is disputing what they owe us, and going back, which is something that goes back many years as well, the 26.9. And Durco, again, to assist members in terms of the understanding of the site 21, is that we owed by Durco 181 million. And the bulk of that is sitting with accommodation, private leases accommodation. Again, not to sound like a broken record, the same type of things of space and lot of records and then the other recoverable CA balance, which is 60 million, also is old, and I'll just get to the details of those. The CA debt relates to the Pan African Parliament, where we ran a project. We spent somewhere in the order of about 90 million, and the client only had 30 million, and the client says that's all we had. So we're sitting with the 60. That we better to recover those debt. That we don't have the 19, we've got the 16, that's it, you know. I think it's just something that we need to search with Delco again as we continue to find some kind of an amicable solution to this, that we've spent the money. They came short in terms of what they had available, and because of this whole operating model that we have, again, this operating model finds its expression specifically on this one, that we spend the money, the client says, I didn't have that money that you spent, I only have so much, I can only give you so much. So what you do, then you have a situation of what you cannot collect. The others is all a question of that various issues around disputes of that properties that clients says they did not occupy. I think we should put on the table this process that we are that's underway, the lease review process, is going to deal with 80% of the issues actually. Members are aware that we've rolled out a whole intervention with the lease review that was in response to the announcements, our pronouncements by the Trent Minister, the Minister of Finance and our Minister to directly look at the leases done last year. So that is fully underway, and the outcome of that process will deal with a lot of these in terms of going forward, confirmation of what clients are occupying, deal with the issues of disputes, deal with the issues with conditions, are we paying the correct rental? So a lot of the issues will be dealt by as a result of this intervention. And then 95 million outstanding releases is the outcome of the reconstruction. We did a reconstruction of our reactors. We went back and did a whole lot of work to reconstruct the reactors. And out of that exercise, we uncovered an amount of about 95.7 million that we believe is owed to us by DECO. Obviously, this would now need to take another process with DECO to ensure that we can do a proper assessment of the recoverability of that 95 million and deal with the issues of dispute if they arise with the big south because of that. Correctional services, total owed by correctional services to the department, 168 million, 28 million of that is old, 140 is fairly current, so we are not really, very much concerned about that. And the 24 million that you see that we say old from accommodation private leases, it's also an outcome of our reconstruction exercise of the debtors that we did, that we have covered full amounts that we believe are old, and that's where it comes from. So really, that's where this will also be subject to negotiations with clients. As you can see, 83% of our debtors under correctional services, 83% are all related to current year. So there's really no reason for panic where we're sitting. Then SAPS, again, similar kind of exercise we did, of which, again, there, 234 million is owed by SAPS to the department in terms of what the total debt of 234 alone is a SAPS. But if you look at it, only 5% of that relates to old debt, which is subject to disputes. The rest is 95% relates to transactions in the current year and is not old. The client pays regularly, and recoverability is never an issue. The 12 million rands that comes back from old years, that's 11937, we are having continual engagement with clients to ensure that we can find an amicable way to resolve the issue of recoverability of that amount. I think those are the big five, what you call your platinum clients. In a bank, you have your platinum clients. So those are our platinum clients, five of them which account for the bulk of our business. I think when you look at all this, you ask yourself, but what's your way forward with respect to this collection? I mean, you've dealt with about 1.1 billion your five top clients. There's another 1.2 billion of your small other. 51 left 5, that gives you about 46. Now, the rest of the 1.12 billion is just spread amongst all the other 46. And there needs to be a lot of work that we do to recover all of that. And what we do, We've put together a plan for this current year to deal with things. First, leaving on the private leases, we're reconciling amounts paid, which is on the expense side, to amounts claimed back from the clients. We develop a new standard contract and roll out to ensure all clients have contracts, these contracts. Per property, per client, is detail of the nature of the building. I think our lease review project is specifically looking at this. It is our lease review project intervention is not looking at lease reviews for, it's not looking at leases for the state-owned buildings. It's specifically looking at the leases on private leases. That's what we're doing, and I think an outcome of that exercise will assist a lot in dealing with the issues of private leases or what we list out. With respect to the debtors, we are continuing with the process of the reconstruction of the debtors. We've got five steps, which I'll just allude to in the next slide. We continue to drive and manage collections. As I did say, we set up a complete dedicated unit dealing with this. We will actually go through, and we've actually done the exercise for this year, where we've done a detailed analysis of our debtors. And out of that, we've determined what are the potential write-offs. And we are continuing to do that so that we can clean up our books. We, you know, to carry amounts that you're not going to be collecting, it's just tarnishes the nature of your books, so we need to do that process. So we are actually doing it to determine what is recoverable, what is not recoverable, what's not recoverable, but then do write-offs. But the write-offs will be done. It is not a shortcut to avoid the process of collection.
That's what I think.
It is going to be done through a detailed, there has to be detailed indications of interventions put in place to ensure that you actually came, you got to a condition that you're not going to be able to collect. National Treasury will not agree to the write-off if you do not demonstrate that you've taken all necessary and reasonable steps to ensure that you collect. And these steps are not self-talking. It has to be documented with a portfolio of evidence of what you need. So that process will take us a whole year before we can actually get to a point that says, you know, of what we said we work, this is what we recommend for write-off. We have not even gone to that, basically. What it did in the current year is that from a management point of view, as the accounting officer's responsibility, you need to look at your debtors and take a piece of what you believe the state of your debtors in terms are. And we've done that as an accounting entry. So it's not like in Richmond. No, we have not. And then now, around the building itself, like I said, we need to control how we build, the accrual of our debtors, the aging of our debtors, and that's all underpinned by a proper backbone supporting, which is the IT system software. And then we need to do a cost recovery model, as I did say, for MTE, so that we you know, the framework itself was the kind of, and that's the basis on which we should go. A draft was done way back in 2006, it needs to be cleaned up. And that is just to take the state portfolio and turning out of that portfolio, how you're going to recover costs, to be able, as TMCE, to run the business of the maintenance, the infrastructure for state as a whole. But this can only be done once we've actually completed the compilation of the Google Assets Register, and as well as having signed off and completed the entire lease review that I alluded to earlier on as an intervention. The reconstruction process of our debtors requires us to verify investors, identify credit notes where we need to identify, match payments to supporting documentation, verify the payments on banks. So it's and this is going back from 2006. You know? Okay. And then reconcile what was invoiced and what you paid to the PMI, matching our unallocated receipts to invoices. We have an amount that's sitting that's not being allocated to a particular invoice to a debtor. We need to do that. Verify invoice amounts to list agreements, taking the verification project in financing to account, and meet our clients regularly and assist you know, wherever we need an intervention of National Treasury for the collection of old debt where we can substantiate it. we need to clear this advanced account, which then means we need to take some money out of this advanced account and allocate it to the appropriate data. And as I did, we need to probably consider the, you know, revisiting the operating model of PMTE, as well as engaging, you know, National Treasury on the debate around the evolution of the budget. What's our IT rollout? We've got a plan in terms of IT. That's the plan. We're looking at probably going live March 2014, because the detail that goes back, there's one, to put a billing system together is very easy. To put out a accounting and billing system, can go buy one on the shelf and backpack. The challenge that we have is the integration of that system to your source systems, which is your WCS, your iWorks, your PMIS, to be able to feed information to your accrual system, backpack, to be able to generate and automate this internal. Now, WCS, iWorks, PMIS are dependent on a number of other major projects. iWorks will depend on the completion of the immovable assets. For us, we have to be able to complete the immovable assets to have the necessary data that can then feed onto an accounting and billing system. We have to get that data. Now, the project on the immovable assets, as you know, we have a project in place and can only be completed, as you said, A, substantially compliant, or, yeah, as a register of March 2014, as we indicated. So even if we could get a billing system now, we still have to get the feeding systems in place. Certainly with the leases, we need to ensure that what we have from now, these systems, credible data that can then feed to be able to allow us to do the necessary billing. So in terms of the specifications, we completed the specifications for the billing and administration, that's done. We've gone beyond that. We said we need to also consider the feeder systems, as in your immovable asset register, your leases, and the systems from which we pay the municipal services. And we need to do the specs for that, incorporate them into the billing system so that they feed appropriately, and looking at the end of July to complete that. And then we kickstart the SEM processes, which we gave 30 days, 30 days to complete that entire exercise to do the SEM process and acquire the solution. As I did indicate, this process of feeder is also dependent on other projects that we have, the lease review project, which is going to be completed in September, as well as the physical verification of the assets and the population of the asset register, which is wrapped up right up to the end of February next year. So that's really the dependencies. Then we're going to go through a process of cleaning the data that you have from your PMIS, from your service, from your iWorks, just cleaning it up to ensure that what you take on to the new system is cleaned up and you're taking proper information in there. But what we're saying is that in the meantime, you can start the process of customizing what you're going to buy. To be able to work, and we're going to start to run a pilot project on our January, February, so that we can go live in March. So really, that's the whole spiel of how we're going to go about. The issue of this is if you go back and determine what in a life cycle of a business automation process you need to do, there's a lot of steps that you need to do before we are actually doing what we are doing. And I think we're running out of time. We are under pressure. We have not concluded. If you go to the next slide, or slide, I think the slide after the chart, the process slide, that we have not completed the business case for PMT. That process is still happening. We have not put together a proper IT strategy in place so that we can, you know, put the organizations. These are processes that are still happening with the operationalization of PMT. But where are we? We are already at a place where we are doing the business requirements for business requirements for PMT, the systems requirements. So we skipped a number of steps. So we could go back and have to revise and clean up and tweak and do when we've completed all those other things that we need to do. The rest is all about systems implementations, okay, and I don't think I need to really take you through the pain of all it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mawaro, for the presentation. Honourable members, I'd just like to recap what was said on the 14th of February 2012, if you remember very well. We were briefed that a public work is owned by then $1.9 billion by client department. And that public work was seen with an overdraft of $2.1 billion. And as a committee, we requested for a list of client departments that are owing. They did not respond to that. We again reminded them to send us a list of clients that are owing. And if you remember, in this very building, but I don't remember the venue, we were told, the response was, we are not privileged to see that list, if you remember very well, that we're not privileged to see that list. And honourable members, we were asking all these questions because one of the members, if it's not, I'm sure it's Tatama Gubani, who indicated that in Durban, there's a Liberty building that is not occupied and a public works is paying rent on that building. Is there that we requested? And also, we were informed in that meeting that Treasury also owes Department of Public Works. That's when we requested all those things. So I wanted just to recap and remind you of the issues. To say, if by then Public Works was owned 1.9, it says nothing has been done. Honorable Dreyer, Honorable Wajanabila, Sitole, Mama Madopa, Mama Novemba, and we'll be followed by other members.
I wanted to correct what I just said. I said in Devon there is a building belonging to Public Works which is not operating fully, and what they done, they have done is that they are occupying Liberty Building across the road. And now I have learned that the empty offices which are in Public Works in Arwal Street, they gave them over to CBE.
Okay,
so CBE is occupying those offices at the present moment.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yes.
Madam Chair, yes, I've got four questions. The first one is, first of all, just for clarity. When we look at the various top five clients, you see every time private accommodation is one of the biggest amounts, if not the biggest, and in municipal services. But I don't understand, when the state owns building, you own it, and then you've got clients, it's a DERCO or defence. So they use your facility and they've got to pay us the money, us being Public Works. But when it's a private accommodation, then you put one of the client departments in there, say police, but it belongs to Mr. Scott, who's a private property owner. You've got to pay him. So it's not money owing to us, private company, it's owed to him. So I don't understand, you know, that it all goes into the same column, yeah, the difference there. You could just clarify that to me. And then, you know, the bank overdraft, Chairperson has mentioned it from 26, 27, 28, 29, it's getting worse and worse and worse. We're sinking deeper and deeper into debt. What is the bank's reaction to this? I mean, if I go more than my facility as an individual, private individual, they would stop me drawing further money very, very quickly. You know, you go to the amount and they will just say, sorry, no funds available. So how do you manage? How's the bank? Why? You know, what agreement do you have with the bank that they just continue to increase the bank overdraft? Other question is municipal services. That's the second biggest amount that you don't pay municipal services. You have to pay the various municipalities for the water and light and property taxes and so on. I know as an individual property owner, if I don't pay the city of Johannesburg, my municipal account, they'll cut my services very, very quickly. Electricity gone, no water, just cut. How do you manage that? Don't they cut your services? No municipality whatsoever in all the various towns and cities we have properties, have they never cut services? And if so, why not? Have you got some sort of special agreement with them? And then you talked about information was lost when you transferred from one system to another system because they couldn't transfer everything onto Excel. My question, didn't you have a backup? Very simple. You don't just transfer and then delete the others. You just make sure that you have a backup of information before you transfer to another. What precautions did you take in that regard?
Hi,
Chair, I think this matter has been presented several times to this committee. And if I remember well, there was a list of the departments that were presented to the committee with the amount that each department is owing. I remember I make a proposal that as a committee, while you are overriding, but on the other side, we have to assist the Department of Public Works by calling those departments to come and just educate to us why they are not paying the client departments, why they are not paying the Department of Public Works. My question to the first one is on the root cause for non-payments. On the issue of the service of the service level agreement, when looking at slide number 5, you have indicated the use of departments, the entities, the service level agreements that have been signed and not signed, and service level agreements not required. But when looking at your footnote, you are saying a number of national departments and entities currently do not require service level agreements for a variety of reasons. But in your table there, you indicated that service level agreements not required one. Can you unpack that? Because if on your footnote you are saying a number of national departments, how many are they? Because on top there you indicated one. The issue of the UMs, previously you indicated that you have got a plan in place to workshop the departments for the UMs. I remember the meeting of the department with the Department of Home Affairs, when the issue of the UMs was just a matter for concern. But here, you're just citing it as a root cause. The department's less capacity with regard to the compilation of UMs. What is it that you're doing as a department? Because now we're supposed to get the report, how many departments have been workshopped? And since those departments have been workshopped, is there any improvement? And also on the service level agreements, because that was also an issue. Is there any improvement since they've signed this service level agreements with the 21 departments? Then the other one, Chair, is the issue of the old debts. What is it that you are planning? Those old debts, are you planning to write them off? Or what? You don't tell us about the department who are owing the legal amounts except this correctional services and depot and whatever. What is it that you're doing with those departments for you to be able to recover the money? Because even if they owe you a cent, that cent must be recovered because they have paid the cent on their behalf. So it's their responsibility to pay the cent back to the department. We have said that we are conducting an exercise of what is recoverable and also what is not recoverable. Can you unpack that? Because it means that you have decided that other amounts, you know, they are unrecoverable. I think the last one should be the issue on the bank drafts. Although there was a drop, but bank drafts are still high. I think it's a matter for the overdraft, a matter for concern. But Chair, I thought that you get a progress report because the plans that you have been tabled to us now, the plans that you have been tabled before, hoping that in the next meeting we'll get the progress report on how far has the department been able to implement those plans. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. No, thanks for the presentation. Really, it is true that we have been receiving this report and also what progress follow-up report is the fact that the list that were presented for the debtors department that are owing public works, and then it was really raised. I remember the chairperson was raising to say that if also the creditor is owing, what about the other departments, you know, because the list that was provided to us indicated also treasury is owing the department. But what one wants to check around the issue of writing off debt, because you said you at the moment you are just looking, but the processes will be followed. I want to check, do you have the department, the policy of writing off debt? What is the policy? What is it that you follow, or you just decide? Because if there is no policy that you follow, it will be a cause for concern for us as members. I remember when the minister was presenting the open program to say that PMTE is a proposal that it must be a unit on its own, so that because all the schemas and so on, because there is no focus and concentration on this particular unit. But now on your presentation, you are indicating that you will move in the 2013-2014. Already you are in the 2013-2014. I don't expect that when you are presenting today in June, you say you will. You must give us a report to say that now, because you said you'll establish a unit of PTMT, give us the progress report on this one, not to say you will in the next financial year, as if it's the other year, because it's this current year. We need an update, because the time the DG presented to say there will be a unit, we even say it's not a CFO, it will be somebody accounting to CFO in the CMTE, that the post that will be there. We are expecting as a portfolio committee to get a progress report to say, now as you presented that organogram, it's approved, now this is how far you have gone about it, rather than saying that you will be, you know, as if it's something that will be coming, is not yet there. Because it would mean to say all these things that you are saying here are the challenges and the proposal is way forward on the implementation of a debt collection. It's not going to happen if there are no structures in place. I'm not sure about your approach that you pay for the client department and then they pay you later. Don't you think that it is important to review that one? That they pay in advance, because if it is known, most of if you are a tenant, usually you pay in advance when you get. Maybe I think because as we are reviewing the policy according to turnaround strategy, it is something that will assist, because now the minister said that there will be ministerial team, there will be the team for the official. Maybe you have to start to discuss that, to say that you don't pay them and you collect later, because this is a challenge really. Because if they come up with the need analysis for what they want as client department, they've got a budget for that. So they must transfer the particular budget as well as the renting. And I think it's several times that we have raised those things to say that maybe it will be important that the department pay in advance so that you can be in a position to prevent this high overdraft that we see here in the presentation. But I think my colleague has raised this thing of the old debt that keeps on coming, and we don't know what is your plan about it. Because if it is something that needs to be written off, I think you must, it's something that must be looked at, because it's a concern to us to say that I know that you inherited now. It's a concern to say that you are going to write off without hearing you the steps that you have taken. That's why I asked about the policy for writing off, because there is no way that a department can just write off without following any policy. If we have a policy, we need to really understand that.
Thank you.
Is
it Thank
you, Jonathan. Most of my question has been covered by our correct. But my concern, the person, is sure that the department is still in crisis. If the presenter chairperson says we mustn't panic, keep on saying we mustn't panic. He said there's no risk. And it, when the government is owing up more than is overdraft more than 1.4 billion. Because if you can just check here, he just picked only five client department. What about all other departments? Because even if you can check our report, even the parliament is owing to the department. And it's nothing said here about that. So now, Jefferson, I think the attitude of presenter, if it is the attitude of the department, goes nowhere. Because you cannot say we mustn't panic when the department is in this stage. Chairperson, my concern is that the police, the capitalization police, do they have the capitalization police for PMCD to be used by the PMTD? If they do have. Another one, Chairperson, the protest. I was expecting today to get a progress of what the department has done from last year until this year. But it's nothing that says it. And that I'll show present the challenge, because there's a lot of challenges in the department. I don't know what more can I say to present, because they are talking about that there's a lack of capacity in the department. But my when I'm looking at this report, Chairperson, it shows that the lack of capacity is in the department. I can say more, Chairperson, because there's a lot. When I was starting this, I have about 17 questions. So I think I have to write them and follow. Make them follow up. No, most of them are not covered. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you also for the presenter. But I'm tempted, Chairperson, to quote from the book that guides us all. They say that the journey was meant for 3 days, and they took 40 years. This government is being accused of being almost 20 years in existence, but nothing is happening. And I think that it's really, really, we are the Israelis now today. They are jiggling and tango, you know, going anywhere. All these questions have been asked before that are now asked. I want to stress the point of capacity. Do we have capacity within the department? Please, next year, we'll out of here. And I'm sure the others that will be sitting here will again start at the beginning where we started. Is this good governance? I thank you, Chair.
Mama Nguyen, many will follow.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like to start by saying this is a very sad state of affairs. Very sad that we are. Even this year, we talk about the same things that we've been talking about for the past, I don't know how many years. To me, it looks like things. Some unwillingness to do the right thing in the department. First of all, on slide number 3, it's made mention of the minimal enforcement of KIAMA by TPW. This is what I've been saying, for the past how many years. The fact that this KIAMA, Government Immovable Asset Management Act, was only passed in at national and provincial, is giving us problems at that level. And I'm like Tole, I've got so many things to ask, but it's, I don't know whether there's a point in asking these questions or it's just a waste of time. Okay. PMTE, there's a machine that was bought in 2006, an IT system that was bought in 2006, and it was meant to put things right. But up until now, it's 2013 now, it has never been used. What we're talking about, this PMTE, whatever, it is in the book. If you check the the strategy and all that the IT system was bought. It was about 40
million. It was
very costly. Whatever it was very costly. It cost quite a number of millions. But it sat there and gathered dust. And I don't understand when you are saying why on slide number 7 that we're unable to effectively or accurately determine cost recovery from PMT. Okay, but there was a made mention of some square meters that cannot be. Or how were the leases agreed to? If all of a sudden you don't know the amount of square meters that are in that building. Because, or is it because of the lost data, or I don't know. We're still talking about the proper systems even today. And
the machine that you're talking about is not the IE.
Yes, I was coming to that on slide number
10. What are you right now?
The IE works. Is it the same one?
I think it's the same one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't
you
know.
Need to clarify that.
Mm. And on slide number 10, you were saying the 1.4 billion is not a risk. I fail to understand it. On slide number 10, it's not a risk. Also, on slide number 11, there are invoices. What are they based on if you don't have the I mean, when the people were signing the lease agreements and all that and all that, but there are invoices, but based on what? I mean, something doesn't tally. And parent systems not integrated on slide number 11 across the business. So, how the amount of money that is being paid, do we know if it's the right amount that comes into the account or... I really don't know because so much has happened in this department, and the private leases they come up to 1,178. And are you able to identify these private leases? Because it looks like a lot I'm saying there's a lot that really doesn't happen. Then there was this loss of data. How? You said when you're transferring from one machine, was there no backup system? And the dispute with clients, how does it happen if you've got the right invoices, the right number of square meters per, and how does the dispute occur with the clients? I'm really very disturbed. I mean, I thought in the going to, I mean, to have the progress report. Instead, it's like we're doing here and here, going backwards and forwards. I don't know. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Mary.
Lady, Chairperson, this is actually a solid state of affair. The department spell out everything which is a problem on page, the slides, page 3, 4, and so on. But why does it take so long to put things in place to solve the problems? They're stating the problems that they are having. The clients resist to pay because it will cause a qualification on their audit. For paying something which isn't properly built. So from our side, there's the leases, which I think we can build. The municipal services, you get the account, we pay the account, and then when we get the account and pay, then we only can build it. So that I can in some way understand why it can be slightly delayed.
But the proper leases, you have got a lease with somebody, so you can blame, you pay, you owe me for the lease of that building, that amount. So for that, the payment can be quicker than the service. I'll think. Because I'm reading this, that we pay the account which we receive, because that's not included. So we pay that on time. Having paid that on time, we are able to bill, as in the case, as I say, the municipal services. But the leases, we know by now, this is the leases. Only new ones, which actually must be, there must be a service level agreement, this is going to be the lease, but as soon as that is fixed, then that billing can be done. So that's my problem, because that's the reason, because we are not in a position, or we don't bill quick enough so that payment can be done quick enough. That outstanding amount, for it seems that if it's coming for quite a number of years, but that's 40% of the amount outstanding. The larger amount, 60%. So to me, if everything is in order, that can be solved within a month. There's the amount for the leases, there's you get an account for municipal services, so you send that out, so that can be, so to me this whole thing is the department must get the things which is got on page 3 and 4 or slide 3 and 4 in order to solve our problems. So I'm of the agreement, capacity seems to me as if there's the big lack of problems. I want to be naughty and I want to just ask, in the case of Nkanda, we saw over the weekend it's rent, the earth is rent from Ngonyama Trust. The rest, the buildings is a straight donation, so there's no some sort of payment getting, or it will never, there will never be some sort of payment. I'm just thinking about it, but
Minister,
the department must make sure that
Minister,
they...
You are becoming too naughty, because Nkanda is a private residence, and we're not dealing with Ngoyama Trust. Here we are dealing with our clients, who are the department. That is that next they will let on.
I understand, but I'm asking, I'm thinking about I can understand why payment can't be, we pay, I would think that we pay our accounts, but to bail out people, if that's done quicker, we can get our money quicker. That's my main problem.
Thank you, Nanya. Can I give you 5 minutes break for all of you to grab tea and come and refresh? I take tea and coffee. 5 minutes break, and then.
Oh, thank you.
But public works, when you come back, the issue of invoicing. Because last year the department said they were given a report that they are not paying because the invoicing is not done correctly. Yeah. Not as my advice. And can we all go with tea? At 5 minutes. Baba's trying to go for tea for 5 minutes.
I'm going to also have a little big summer. I have big skin.
Hey.
Yeah.
Can you please go for coffee?
Thank you.
time the project will be complete, or substantially complete, will be around March next year. And as a result of that completion, a lot of improvements with independent activities of the department on the asset register will see positive outcome. Then we have the sleep audit project, which just really wants to keep the audit outcomes of the department, and you know about it, that we've done. So ideally what you said is we appeal for the members' indulgence in terms of allowing us the time to do the things that we need to do with respect to turn around. Because these things take time, the impact of the turnaround interventions can only be seen and felt after a particular period. I think what we did in the past is that we put the basis on which you want to move from this level to a higher level. And I think right now what is happening is that transitional process to get us to that higher level. I know there's impatience with the department to say, we want to see results now. But, you know, it's a process, I think, which needs to take time. It's not an event. It's a whole journey that we need to walk to health because of the, as I did allude, the depth and the breadth of the issues that we are facing, that some of these things are systemic of nature, which need us to go into this in a systematic approach to deal with them. So it's not happening quick. And I really appreciate I think members are tired from, you know, of us coming back with the same type of thing. Now it's time to move on to the next level. And I want to assure members that that exactly is the point. That's exactly where we're moving to. If you look at the overdraft that the chair alluded to, about 1.9 billion rands, 2.1 billion rands that was spotted, I'm not sure, in February of this year, against the debtors of 1.9. Last year. Yeah, against the debtors of 1.9. In the current year, we are reporting an overdraft of about 1.4 billion. And compare 1.4, Honorable Chair members, to 1.1, there is a significant reduction to the overdraft balance. No, it's 1.4 this year, the 2.3 billion is the debtors that are outstanding. Yeah. So you can see, notwithstanding the fact that I'm saying this is a process for us to get significant improvements out of the interventions that we are putting in place, in actual fact, we are already starting to see the light. And the increase in the debtors, if you compare from last year, which was reported about 1.9, compared to 2.3 now, I think why the increase is precisely because we went through a process to reconstruct our debtors. I did indicate there was the 95 million there that I've uncovered through the reconstruction process, the 6 million in the different debtors that we indicated. So because we've actually taken the efforts of really unpacking and finding out where or what is the state of affairs of the department, we already uncovered additional amounts that we say are owed by the department and had an increase of 2.3 billion as opposed to the 1.9 billion that was reported in the previous year. And I want to really appreciate, apologize that there was a request for a list of debtors that I understand the department did not cooperate in providing that information. I do not see how that information cannot be information that should be available to the members. You did get it. Oh, okay. No, I was just concerned that I was just worried.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I wanted to, you know, so there's an issue around the debtors. There's an issue around what you are doing with the old debt. I think we've indicated, I've tried to cover to the, you know, the extent to which, we need to work this, of the old debt. We just want to write off, or what are we doing? What is your policy on write off and the kind of thing? I think we need to get clarity, you know, provide members with some level of comfort as to that we're not going to go on wholesale write-off of debtors just to get out and say our debtors book is cleaned out, whereas we've not collected the money. I think the process for write-off is clearly spelled out as prescribed by the National Treasury. You cannot work outside of those prescriptions. We cannot do our own thing, not at all, you know. So those are the boundary set, the, you know, process set. prescribed by the Treasury to say this is how you're going to write off state debt, or write off in the sense that the state will be out of pocket because it's original. It is not going to happen that way. So the prescription of policy is aligned to what National Treasury prescription says, and it's very clear how you do it. And like I say, it is not going to be a wholesale write-off of just doing it. The only way a write-off can be approved is if the department that wants to do a write-off can provide demonstrable evidence of what it did to ensure that it actually comes to a conclusion that the amount is not coverable anymore. There is a lot we need to do. That's why I indicated that it will take us a whole year to do this, because we need to go through each and every one of those lines and do a lot of work, detailed work, provide the necessary portfolio of evidence to get to the conclusion that it's right off. It's not going to just happen. And in actual fact, it is not desirable for us to write off. What's desirable for us is to actually collect the money, which will then go towards the relief of our overdraft. So, yes, this will happen in a particular way. If it does happen, it is not something that we desire to do, and we need all the necessary approvals anyway. There's a multi-level approvals for us to be able to do it. So it's a fairly constrained and controlled thing to do, something to do for a department that's going to act over that. It's not going to happen, and it's not a desirable for us to do it anyway. The state of our overdrafts, I mean, it looks like I created an impression when I said it is not major concern, there should be no penny. I want to apologize for if that's the inference I've actually made, and members thought that's what I was saying. All I was saying was, if you do a detail of our overdraft of 1.4 billion rands, I said, of that 1.4 billion rands, 800 million rands relates to monies that are not at risk of recovery. It's 800 million rands that have to do with the timing difference based on our operating model. The operating model of you do the work now, pay your service providers now, and then recover from your clients later. So that's in the context that I said we should not pay. You know, so that's 800 million rands that we know is not issues. The 600 relates to old debts that, as I said, we are going through the process of reconstructing, we are analyzing, we are engaging close to the clients to determine, you know, to substantiate what's owed and that they must pay, you know. So that's in the context, I wanted to say that it's something that is within our control. We are running with this thing, we are in charge of it, and I believe we are going to get the desired outcome out of our interventions. And on the issue around operating model that members also inquired on, as to, you know, what are you doing about it? We did actually indicate that it is something that we want to engage National Treasury. Well, I mean, the issue that we must pay, execute, pay, and then recover later, I think it's something that we need to talk to the state banker, which is National Treasury. It is not something that we prescribe. It is something that we are settled because of the regime that currently exists. So yes, I think it's something that we'd like, as I did say, to revisit the National Treasury, so much so as we'd like to revisit the issue around the devolution of the budgets with National Treasury, that we want to reintroduce that debate. So I think from a general point of view, these are kind of things that we're starting to deal with. We're having a programs meeting with National Treasury where some of these things are going to be dealt with on across the table in ourselves and National Treasury, right on the table to say, this is how this impacts, you know, on the operations of the business, which we need revisions of, and then that's how we engage. I was just trying to avoid to... Honourable Chair, I think that's a very good question, because if you now interpret PMTE as a, if you separate everything out of public works, now there'll be two sets of accounts in public works. There'll be the main vote, which is the main vote public works. then you're going to have PMTE. The overlap is sitting in PMTE and not in the main vote. So the lack, that with the existence of an overdraft, the likely possibility of the main vote getting a clean audit is almost, it doesn't affect it at all. So we can get a clean audit. We are working towards a clean audit, come the audit of the 2013-14, as we did. I mean, that's what we were saying we were working on. If we can complete the asset register, we can do whatever. We want to get a clean audit for the main vote. For PMTE, with the overdraft, we could get a qualification on the basis that the overdraft is of such level that it could actually render PMTE not to be a going concern, but we're going to have to find mechanisms to deal with that in terms of a qualification. And I think that we can also deal with. But I believe, you know, in the next year, we are going to be talking a totally different story when we assess the accounts of PMTE and the main vote altogether. I think there's enough focus, there's enough intent, there's enough everything else to try and rectify the situation. And I think the question that I've asked, and again, maybe I must just indicate your apology, when I said there's no panic, and the question was, is it the attitude of the department? Say there's no panic. The presenter was saying it's all okay. No, it is not what I was trying to get at, honorable members. I think at the end of the day, it is my duty as well to give you a sense that we are in charge. We are running with the scene. We have set ourselves a particular objective, and we are not going to move away from that objective. It is our duty to ensure that when you sit in there, you must know that we're in the driving seat, you know. And that's really what we must give you. If I come here and give you a hopeless situation, I think I'm not worth sitting here. I'm going to give you a sense that I'm in charge. And that's really what I want to do. And it's not arrogance, and it's not trying to say we don't care, we are not being reckless. We are actually not being reckless. That's why we are trying to give you that sense of comfort, which I think you deserve as an oversight body. I think we should give you that. So I don't actually answer the questions specifically. I've tried to provide you with the overall context of where we're going. So some of the details, other questions, you find answers in the content that I've provided. You know? I think the question was that I'm trying to remember the country and province. I think it was my understanding of the question was that there was maybe a misunderstanding of what is owed here. What is owed here is of revenue to us. The landlord would give us an invoice, and because we are the primary signatory and actual tenant, we have to pay and recover that money from the client, department which is occupying the building.
Okay.
Yes. So that's how it works.
Engage in a moment of dialogue, just to clarify. In other words, it's not money that you owe the private property owner, it's money that you have to collect from your client who's using that private property. So you faced that person, but you now have to recover that money from the... Okay, I'm with you. Thank you very much.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything that I may have...
The municipal service, aren't you cut? Don't they cut you when you don't pay?
The other thing, Chairperson, that I just wanted to appreciate further on, and I think the CFO might also add something there. With respect to municipal services, we have a fracture between our department and COGDA. That sits regularly of heads of departments. That is looking into the extent of the amount of money that are being owed, and what are those amounts of monies, and what is the problem exactly? Is it with the invoicing, or is it with the services themselves, or is it with the municipality, so that can be resolved? So this meeting is taking place regularly. It was originally taken previously, so that I know that the ministry is to try and resolve this matter. And again, municipalities do approach the department and do sometimes terminate some of the services. This is why we have to engage in these kinds of discussions to resolve these matters amicably. The other thing that I just want to comment on, raised by Honorable Madhok, was why not claim in advance, budget should be transferred to the DPW. Here, Honorable Members, we also are appealing for your support, because it's a matter that has been evaded for quite some time now. That sometimes some of these portfolios are decided in other departments. Money must just be made available in that department. I mean, for instance, departments have already been complaining that cannot get their infrastructure budget, the public works, even though we're implementing their infrastructure, because they see that there's something that will create a very serious problem for their budget. Their budget will look smaller and they'll lose control of their budget. And I'm thinking that in the context of this discussion that we're having now, it's a very good discussion to take forward. But we would really appeal for enough support for this to happen, probably going
forward. I invite my to make a follow up on that one.
Yeah.
So what last year at this committee, we did need something. Can you continue?
No, I wanted to make a suggestion. You know, on the incentive grant model, the problem was with the national tracker. It was not, this complicated model of EPWP. We called the national treasury. I'm just suggesting that if this thing lies on the national treasury to correct this thing of the department paying on behalf of the client department and collecting later, it has never worked. So now we want them to say they must pay in advance the client department, because it goes to the municipality. We're asking with my leader here, she was saying that, I'm saying, the department pays the municipality, and then the client department, a quota that is supposed maybe to pay, pays later. So they can't sweep off the electricity, because already municipality does have the money. The people that remain with the budget is national department of public works. That's what we are trying to explain. We are saying, because it causes problems, let us engage with national director as a portfolio committee too. We appreciate that the department will be meeting and so on. But I think it will take long, because this is a problem that is taking place. If we can just have a meeting also in the portfolio, as we did when we were dealing with the thing, it was changed now from Schedule 8 to Schedule 6, because we engaged treasurers ourselves. So this is my proposal, Chair. I was trying also to clarify to my colleague to say that why are they not cutting off? To the municipality, why not? They are not cutting off. They are not cutting off because Midland Department of Treasure, of Public Works, have already paid them the money. So they are not owing the municipality. Now the client department is supposed to be paying back what was paid by the Department of Public Works. So that's how it works. That's what we wanted to be changed. To say that the Department of Public Works must not pay on behalf of those client departments. They must give money in advance so that they cut off the thing of overdraft. If they pay in advance, there will be no bank overdraft. The municipalities will be paid. So by the client department, not by them, because they pay with what they don't have. Yes.
I will be interested in the Dema Forum in knowing what is in the service level agreement. It says to me, your service level agreement has got gaps. Because if it was tied up, this happening would be happening. So I will maybe say, why don't you go back to your service level agreement when you sign with the department? Because in some instance, last year, if I'm not mistaken, there was this question that some of the clients, did not sign service level agreements. If I'm not mistaken, I still remember to say, let's look into the service level agreement. And let's set an example. Let's one day, the electricity or whatever, be cut from these departments, so that they might be able to to know that it is an agreement that is standing for them to first, immediately on the 30th, on the 31st, money should automatically be transferred, like we do in the bank. It's automatically transferred to the bank if we got a bond. Why is it not a penny? One will be followed by Honorable Dreyer.
Question. Also, when we went to the Northwest, it was made clear by the MEC there that the problem with the billing system at municipal level was that some of the assets, the municipalities, they don't know whether to bill the province or to bill the national department. There was that dispute, and they end up not billing them at different times. They know that they because of the assets have not been identified as national assets or the provincial assets at that level.
Madam Chair, yes, my question earlier on about the private property owners, that's how we clarified. Then I've got a follow-up question on that. So the department is operating the impression they are very good at paying the municipality, the service providers, you know, for services, but then they've got to collect the money on behalf of their clients, and that's where they're not good. They're not good at collecting the money. They pay, but they don't collect on the other side, and that's part of the risk for the huge overdraft. But I want to question that, and specifically to SAPS, to the South African Police Service, because there seems to be a slightly different arrangement with them. I've had as an individual MP, I think many others probably also, had a number of requests that I've passed on to the department from specifically private property owners whose buildings are used for the police, and they're not paid. The latest one was in Worcester. It's the regional police services in Worcester. I got that from my colleague who actually lives in Worcester. He said the local property owner has become desperate. He's been sending notices to the Department of Public Works for the money that's due to him, and he makes his living out of that. And his income, he doesn't get the money, month after month. And at the end, he was desperate. He was crying. And then, out of desperation, he actually locked the police out. He went there to his building, and he could train. And he locked the building, and the police were literally out of the streets. They couldn't get access. I mentioned that in my budget speech. Now, this is a case, it's not an isolated case, it's one that I mentioned, but there was another example in Sanin, who's a local businessman, who, you know, the police, and then, you know, I passed it on to the acting director general, and after months, eventually was paid. But so there's not such a good record of payment to the private property owners. So can you just inform us and enlighten us about the arrangement with specifically the police? Because it's always police buildings used by the police.
I think we need to start from where you are approached by the client, and you go and look for accommodation for them, for her to understand. You start from there.
Over to the block off. I don't know.
From the approach process,
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
No, she's not. Yeah, it's their own, the two of them don't.
thank you, Chairman. Chairperson, although before I go to the question, I wanted to just provide some input, some information, especially on what the CFO said earlier on the leases, because there was an interest shown also, I remember one day, about how come we do not have square meterage when we have leases with the landlords. I wanted to say that the issue of the leases, although our ministers in Zimbabwe have spoken about it, has really been one of the biggest problems of the department. You know. And the minister has been very decisive in putting together structures to ensure that this matter is addressed. At the moment, I can say after a thorough desktop analysis of the situation, we have established what we call a data education committee on leases specifically. What they do, they visit all the regions individually, where each region does evaluation on all their leases. And this committee goes and completes all of them, goes through them, sees that they meet the basic requirements, they've got the required information, that the periods are correct, the script ratio is there, all basic information that is required of the contract is there. at the moment, they have already gone through Mpumalanga, they've done all the leases in Joburg, 107 of them, they've done the Bloemfontein leases, they've done the Kimberley leases, they've done Pretoria, Polokwane, Mabato, and I know that today that team is in Durban. And I know that Cape Town will be the last province. This is in line with what the CFO was saying when he was saying our plan is to conclude completely this whole matter by September. Because our intention is immediately after they have decided to go over this, we can then determine those that must be renewed for about 8 months once we are advertising to your rather. Those where there's no stock in those specific towns and we need to engage the landlords, maybe negotiate, or sometimes if we don't negotiate, we nominate, because nomination is just a process where sometimes we don't find stock in a town advertising 2-3 times. What we do, we then go to estate agents, maybe 2-3 of them, and say, we want a building of a square meter range. Do you have such, can you provide us those buildings? So sometimes we'll find that maybe 3-4 of them provide us with stock, and we're able based on that to negotiate with them based on the building that we think is better responsive to our needs as a department. That's what we do. So I'm just saying here, Chairperson, just by addressing the CEO's point to say, there's very good progress that is made here based on what the minister has started with the releases. And there I want to allay members' concern that definitely, I think post-September, we should be able to give you a far better, more dignified report with regards to what has been done. And again, the leases play themselves into the environment of the PMDE. This is why if we do not lack, if we lack basic information that they require in order to invoice the kind, it becomes a problem. That's why this is very much important, because it overlaps, you know, into their processes. So it's very much important. And I think we are definitely getting somewhere. I've noted the issue about Worcester, and we'll follow that through as well, Honorable Member. Just to explain a bit the question about Sukar, that was asked now, Honorable Dreyer. When it comes to needs, firstly, we require of every client to submit a UAMP, a user asset management plan, to the Department of Public Works. So all of them have to submit that. After they submit that, then we compile, as public works, we compile what we call a custodial asset management plan, which is informed by their needs, all of them. Then we go out and look into stock, whether we've got buildings that exist that can address their needs in those specific areas where they require accommodation, buildings that are owned by the government. Whether, you know, based on the structure of that place, you know, there's new stock that we can engage with, or that the government, given the need, particularly if there's a lot of needs from a number of departments, what should construct as government. So we look into that. That normally forms the basis of deciding on whether do we go out and advertise and seek accommodation for a county department and so on, or do we construct, or there's other means. Maybe there's a building for us, for public that we can improve elsewhere, which can accommodate those county departments. We look into all those things. This resides with a division we call Asset Investment Management at National, which has reviews the entire portfolio before a decision is made to go out. So we don't permanently just go out when there's a need. We assess everything that exists in that specific area where the need is for that specific department. I hope that has helped create some knowledge around that matter. Thank you, Chairman.
I just have a
question
with that. Doña Mavila, to the Honourable Dreyer, Honourable El...
Chair, can I just check what is the turnaround time after the department has submitted the UMs to assist them to get their accommodation? Because in most cases, one department complaining that the Department of Public Works is taking long. In other places, for instance, the Home Affairs offices in Hillview, they've said they've made several requests. They want to relocate from another office because the one that is not conducive. So, you know, they get the space, then the space ended up being taken by other people due to the long time that you are taking to make the approval for them to occupy that that space that they bought. The other one before another departments have made a request and you realize that they are failing to. As you said, that one of the challenges is the lack of capacity within the departments to buy AOM. What intervention are you making? Because you'll find a situation whereby other offices are not conducive for working. because the departments don't have capacity to combine the UM. I think that is one of the reasons that you are taking long to approve the requests that are made by the department, instead of intervening urgently, assisting them to combine those UMs, as you've indicated in your report, that they lack capacity to combine the UMs.
Manager, follow up on my question about SAPS. It's still not clear. I don't know if my question has been answered. My understanding is that SAPS have got a special arrangement with Public Works. In some instances, they actually negotiate direct with the property owner, which is not always the state, but the private, and they have a direct agreement with the private property owner. So they pay the rent to that person, and they pay the municipal services also. And it's not always through the department. Is that correct or not? And if so, is there no special agreement with SAPS? Are they being treated exactly the same way as all other client departments?
I just wanted to know those departments that didn't sign the service level agreement, how far are we with setting that issue? Because that was also, I was a few minutes outside, I don't know if that was answered, but it's 11 departments, 5 entities, and the total gives me 23. How far are we with those to sign the service level agreement?
Chairman, what's that proposal? Because on the report, they say they forecast to have a meeting with the client department during June and in August. If they can give you, Chairman, the outcome of those meetings so that you can evaluate that. So that they can evaluate what they say today.
On the issue with the DERCO about the PAP, what was the agreement? Because it looks like now we are agreed on something, and then you spent money, and all of a sudden DERCO turns around to say we're not paying. And what is the status quo?
Okay.
Thank you, thank you, Honorable Members. I'll take all these questions that have been posed, and I just will also go back to ones that I believe were not properly answered, probably answered by ourselves, just to make sure that we round up the session adequately for ourselves. I think the question was around the special arrangements or dispensation that we have for SAPS. None of that exists. But I think we've got to also acknowledge that because of the historical challenges that the department has had, we kind of felt a bit of frustration with the department, and they tended to want to go it alone and do their own things. I think that has been controlled. We pulled that back because we pulled that back. So there is no agreement that SAPS should go ahead and do its own thing. In actual fact, we want to win back the goodwill that has been lost to our clients by virtue of our lax processes and inefficiencies. So I think that's really what we're trying to do. And yes, I mean, there was a desire for clients to go that route as a result of the frustrations that they found. So about that, that's been dealt with. I think there was a question I think we'll report back on the progress with SLAs when we come back. But the process to conclude the SLAs is also tied to the issues around the conclusion of UM by clients and the lack of capacity by clients to actually do UMs. I think that is the exact reason why we said because of the all this lack of capacity and the slowness of how we go about doing these kind of things of SLAs and UMs, we then decided to appoint joint teams with our clients. And these are teams that will work from our side and the client side, work together in planning the requirements of clients that require it. And that will incorporate the compilation of the UMs. So you're going to be having professionally skilled and trained people in the areas of the built environment,
that's the intervention that I'm doing, and as I said, the appointment of the joint teams started off. I mean, we rolled that off from effective from the 1st of April 2020. So it's something that is happening now. It's not a wish, it's something that is happening now. And that's what we're doing. So we believe that we will be in a position to expedite the conclusion of all those critical documents of our work. And maybe that also touches on to the presentation that I did earlier and spoke about. We will do this. We will transfer the functions in 2012, 13, 14 financial years. The question was, but you are in this year. Why do you say you will? and I appreciate that. But I think the whole point was, the transfer of functions from one entity to another has to be managed. And especially given the extent of the functions that you have talked about, and the impact this will have on the main board, the impact this will have on PMT. So it's a fairly carefully managed process. When we say it will happen in the financial year 12 or 13, 14, it means we've got a plan, but in terms of the rollout plan, it goes throughout the year. So the actual transfer may happen in December of this year. That's what I'm saying. Because after all, this is what you need to do. No, I was just making an example. This is what you need to do. Okay, honorable members, I think we'll give you, we'll provide you with a plan of the actual process of the transfer of functions from Maybold to PFTE, so that it will indicate the timelines when things will happen. We must also remember that there's a whole, before we can actually do the physical transfers, what we need to do is we need to do or go through a consultative process, bargaining council. The union is actually holding on to the scene. Every time you walk into the office every morning, you find in the loft there's something about turnaround and the transfer of functions to PMT that unions are reacting. Not because of lack of consultation, but the consultation keeps happening. And it's something that you need to be patient about and take them along and just keep consultation. So I think we've got to be mindful of the real things that need to happen before you can actually do that. Because people have got fears of what happens to their jobs, are they in trouble in terms of their potential loss of their jobs and kind of thing. So we've got to make them understand that really this is nothing different or the same. There was a question around, identified five clients and left the rest. What about the rest? All what we did in terms of the five clients, we wanted to go with a big hit, say the big ones, in terms of the amounts that are owing, which is about 50% of the total debt. We've identified five clients, and these are the kind of things that you're dealing with those five clients. What we did not actually try to communicate or intend to communicate was that the rest of the others, which is the 46, we're not doing anything about it. No, that we're doing, all what we're doing with the big clients, we're doing with the small clients as well. So we're not discarded the small ones and said, no, we're not going to do anything about them. But if you look at it, on the 1.2 billion rands outstanding of 41 or 46 clients, per client, how much that is. So if you want to provide effort in terms of the 80-20 rule where 80% of the value is down to 20% of the effort. That's the way we went about this whole thing that we wanted to indicate yourself. So we are putting all efforts to recover money, no matter how small, whether it's 20 cents as one honorable member said, we must recover it. We will. Then there was a question about the system that was procured in 2006 that is collecting dust. The department has never procured an accounting billing system for PMTE at all. The department has procured a lot of systems indeed, and that's correct. And one of those systems is, I think, would be the IBERS, which is a system to drive our, at the register, drive our lease payments, municipal services payments, and that kind of thing. It was an accounting system. There's a system that dealt with that. And the system is actually being used. There's even further enhancements done to the system. So that one is not collecting us. We have another system that we procured at the department, which goes back to 2006, and I suspect it's the same system that you probably also are referring to. There was not an accounting and billing system as well. It was a reporting system, a system that provides reports for us to be able to assess our business account. So, yeah, so I just need to provide that with respect to systems of that. I think I'll be on the last... okay, there was then an issue around why it takes so long to actually respond to client needs, and then when the clients identify the building that they need to use, and then we take forever, and then they lose the building to somebody else who comes and does things quicker. I think that's correct. And I think we accept that that's true, that our SEM processes are just so inefficient and take so long, so that by the time you actually get to a decision, it's too late, things have moved on, people have taken up the deal. The problem is that, and this is one of the things that you've also engaged National Treasury on, is that the SCM process that's prescribed by National Treasury is it's suited for an environment where you are procuring goods and services. It has not actually looked at the environment, which is in the, if you are looking for leases, property management, property transactions, infrastructure projects, you know, there has to be a different dispensation. You can't take one system and it's one size fits all. These are highly different environments, highly specialized, which needs to be done differently. Now, the prescripts, naturally, they have gone through the process of amending their prescripts and have actually engaged departments with respect to providing comments and proposed amendments. We have engaged with those with the process significantly, provide our amendments to deal with the proposed processes that would actually talk to the nature of our business, which is infrastructure and property in terms of leases. So to procure a building, it cannot be the same as procuring a couple or a catering. It cannot. So I think those are the kind of things that we are mindful of. And yes, it has taken long. It is because it has been this process that is not suited for the nature of the terms of the service we are requiring. So I think we dealt with that in terms of the amendments by National Treasury. We're waiting for finalization of the amendments so that new business can come out, which then talks to our business. How we gonna do this. There's no loss there. Well, I think, yeah, she just reminded me about the question about lost data. Did you have backups or what really happened? Okay. I think, did you want to answer?
Thank you. The data that we use to invoice is carried on our PMIA system, which is the EFOS referred to, the Property Management Information System. But in order for us to invoice clients, we download it from that system into Excel. In the first 6 months, or the first year, we only issued our invoice after the first 6 months, after negotiations with Treasury on how the invoice will look, etc. So the information was downloaded from PMIA into Excel 2003, which has a line limitation. We didn't realize it at that stage, and the invoice was based on that. When we did our reconstruction that we've been referring to a few times in 2010-11, specifically on municipal services, we again downloaded the data. So the data is not lost, it's still on our PMI system. But when we downloaded it again, we realized that we were missing information the first time. We now use Excel 2010, which do not have a line limitation on how much data you can use. So the data wasn't lost. The data is still there. We just didn't realize. And we pay 22,000 municipal accounts a month. And the first download was for 6 months. And the data was just too much for Excel to handle. But we didn't realize, I mean, we as a department take responsibility, but we in finance didn't realize that all the lines didn't download into Excel. So the data is not lost. That is those that we have been, in the slide where we referred to the 2006 to 2010 plan, that is where we're now in back to clients to say, We did not invoice you in 2006 to 2010, but this is actually the service that we did give you, and that is why we would like you to pay us back. It's not lost.
Thank you, Chef Heston. My question is around Pan-African Parliament. I would want to know as to whether is it financed by all member states or it is financed by South Africa alone?
No, Pan-African
Parliament is here. Who's on Squillage?
Yeah.
I can see that they have got a specific answer. We better drop it down for the future reference.
And
going forward. They are investigating that. When we
conclude the method of environmental assessment impact, they will finance the project through PPP. So this is where we stopped in terms between ERCO and DPW, the construction process. Why they're not paying the outstanding 60 million, I can't explain that, but I could only assume that maybe the source of funding to cover the cost is not there anymore. Thank you.
Other members, I think we have come to the end of the meeting. DPW, at least in this parliament, we know that you order parts from Germany. That we are very clear of. But the issue here is it not taking too long? And how often are these lifts serviced? That's another problem. Every day when I get into the lift, I start panicking. Every day, because of what happened to those who were admitted during during the recess. Yeah. And every time we get involved, we've got that problem. Can we, maybe on paper, be briefed how often are these lifts serviced? And we know the problem, but it's taking too long. I don't know how we would solve it. Other members, I think we have come to the end of our meeting, and we appreciate the responses given, and we understand the turnaround strategy that is going to take long. But because we are human beings, we need to question so that we push you to speed up some of the things that can be speeded up. On that note, thank you very much. And the meeting is again.
The perception of the officials that the politicians come and go and they remain in the department. And then they know that by next year some new people will hear and ask the same questions.
But with this minister. Not with this minister. Yeah, thank you very much.